What's up, guys? This is Tomas here. Thanks for so much for tuning in to the first episode of The Tomas Show, the podcast that I've been working on for the past couple of months. I'm so excited about this. The first guest is Julian Placino that you're about to listen to, a close friend of mine that really helped me tremendously personally and professionally in my life and has been one of the most instrumental people to really help me get where I am today. So thank you so much again for tuning in, for your valuable time, and I hope you enjoy it. Cheers.
This is the Tomas Show, your source for personal and professional development.
I want to welcome you first and foremost because you're, I think, a true friend, a mentor. I credit a lot of my small success, I guess, to you. And the fact that I'm here where I am today, we're at the star, and I'm just thankful for your friendship, for what you've done. And I'm honored because you're the first guest. So that's tremendous. And for some context, I want to give you guys a little bit of background about Julian. You know, we've met about 7 years ago at SMU when he was recruiting SMU students, and I was just like, oh my God, this guy is so talented. He has just a tremendous, tremendous charisma. He's so articulate and he can just pick up talent out of the crowd that other recruiters do not have. And that speaks obviously much volume. And I pulled him to the side and I said, Julian, I don't know who you, like, with all due respect, but I think you're going places. I think this is going to be a tremendous, tremendous journey for you. This is not where it starts or where you are already, but it's going somewhere else where you are right now. So it's just, it's crazy. I was able to predict it and I'm like taking credit for it.
Well, thank you, Tomas. I'm incredibly grateful for all the years of friendship that we have had as well. And I'm honored to be on the show, man.
No, appreciate you. So 11 years of experience, agency, corporate staffing, you've helped advance the careers of hundreds of people, technology, creative, sales professionals, you know, around the country. You're a head of talent acquisitions for Bottle Rocket. Mm-hmm. You work for one of the greatest leaders in this community, Calvin Carter. And you guys are ultimately the premier mobile development firm, one of the most premier mobile development firms in the world. So let's start from here. You know, how did you get to Bottle Rocket? What was your motivation to even join the firm? And yes, let's start from there. I would love to hear more insight in that regard.
Yeah, so I have been in recruiting and staffing now for the past 11 years. And my background is split sort of agency, third party, and also corporate. So in the agency world, I did both recruiting and also sales, contract and also perm in a good and also a bad economy. Mm-hmm. And today I oversee talent acquisition for Bottle Rocket, where I've been there for the past 7 years. How did I join Bottle Rocket? So before Bottle Rocket, I worked for a company called Reach Local. So at the time they were the world's largest online advertising platform, and I oversaw talent acquisition for one of their products. And it seemed like at that time they were going through a little bit of a change, and I found a position where I needed to look for something else. And based on my referral network, I was able to be introduced to Calvin Carter, the founder and CEO of Bottle Rocket. And after one meeting, we made a pretty quick decision and we thought it was the right fit.
I feel like that's fantastic because not only, so you went to UNT, mm-hmm. you have a background in marketing. And many people are in college and they're just like, you know, what am I going to do with my degree? Are those courses that I'm even taking applicable to what I'm going to see in the workforce?
Right.
So I'm curious to hear, how were you able to take this marketing degree and apply and figure out, hey, I want to be in recruiting? Like, what was your kind of, you know, the light bulb that went on and say, you know what, I want to utilize this degree and apply this, you know, in Reach Local, Robert Half, and now Bottle Rocket?
Yeah, well, first off, honestly, I had no clear direction of what I wanted to do after college. To be honest with you, up until that time when I graduated, my whole sole purpose was just get a degree and then figure things out. There were some things I was good at and there were some things I was bad at. What I was bad at were numbers. So I actually went and selected the business degree at UNT that had the least amount of statistics and math. And that just so happened to be marketing, right? All the roles I had been up until that point really geared around sales and customer service. So marketing to me felt like I was a fit, right? And honestly, I had no idea that the recruiting industry even existed. And that was one of my biggest challenges up front. So when I graduated from college in 2005, I was super overconfident in my ability to go get a job because all throughout my college career, I built a very successful career in the retail space with a company called CompUSA. So when I graduated, I had 6 years of technology retail, 4 years of training, 3 years of management, and everyone around me telling me how great I was, right? So what I thought was going to happen was the market was just going to roll out offers to me, right? But that did not happen. Over an 8-month period, I was rejected literally 37 times in a row.
That's crazy. Wow.
Right? So after going through that odyssey and learning from the school of hard knocks of how to find a job, how to interview, how to present myself, the one company that decided to make me an offer was a company called Robert Half International, which is one of the oldest and largest staffing firms in the world. So I went from this whole place of like struggling to find a job to now building a career out of helping other people find jobs. And I find a tremendous amount of meaning in my work.
I want to give you credit here because I genuinely believe that like you're like a recruiting pioneer. And I mean it by that because when I was in grad school, that's how we met ultimately. I was fortunate to develop a large number of HR professionals and staffing, surprisingly, in the whole Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And the reason why it happened is because I was recruiting those employers to come to campus and help friends get jobs. And I don't think I've ever met anyone that is that articulate and can help an individual determine who they are ultimately, what is their skill set, and how applicable that is to the particular job that they could be doing. So I think that's a gift. And ultimately, what I'm saying today is you're empowering other recruiting and staffing professionals to be better and to be probably someone they never thought that would be because you have a true gift and you were able to identify along the way, obviously, of tireless work, which we'll get into it in a second. Mm-hmm. But that's just what I wanted to mention because that's my observation. I've been watching, I've been studying you, and there's a lot of psychology there. But many people, I see what you do on LinkedIn and social media and your podcast that I've been fortunate to be on. But it's just a tremendous label of work that you've built. So I want to give you credit for that because I don't think you give yourself credit for that.
Well, I deeply appreciate that, Tomas. Thank you so much.
So let's transition to something that I want to talk about briefly. It's Social Venture Partners of Dallas.
Yes.
I feel like we can say, I think openly, that this was one of the most instrumental groups probably that help you, you know, accomplish the level of success where you are today, the level of connections, the level of relationships that you were able to establish there. So talk about, SVP, how did you become a member? And ultimately, what are some of the biggest takeaways from August 2014 when you first joined?
Yeah, so first off, what is SVP? SVP is the Social Venture Partners of Dallas. And when I describe what SVP is, I point to the TV show, The Shark Tank, because it's kind of like that. So it's a nonprofit organization that enables other nonprofit organizations through advising and also financial investment, right? And that's essentially what we do as an organization. And I'm a partner, so I'm part of a network of individuals who look to serve other nonprofits through the form of advising. Why did I join the organization? Because I was always looking for a capacity to serve with my skills and my background. I've done things like Habitat for Humanity and folding sandwiches for the homeless, and those were all great experiences. But I wanted to apply my expertise in a way that it could scale, and that's what drew me to the Social Venture Partners of Dallas. And man, through this organization, I saw how much of an impact a group of very passionate individuals can make by working together and pooling their experiences. It's been an amazing experience for me.
And why would you, so if for those listening, there's many young people I'm sure that will be listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. especially. And so can you elaborate more how important that is to identify, you know, your true mission and why should a young person ultimately get involved in a group of their choice, whether it's a philanthropic organization, SVP or else? There's so many groups in Dallas-Fort Worth. How can a young person identify hey, like, I want to be a part of this. I feel like this is great. And this will ultimately help my professional growth and personal growth. How can a young person go about that?
Well, I think there's a true benefit in service, right? And I'm not saying this to be purely altruistic, but so one of my favorite quotes is by Jim Rohn. And Jim Rohn says, giving starts the receiving process. And I have truly experienced that to be true. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson, he calls it one of life's most beautiful compensations. He says that it is impossible to sincerely try to help your fellow man without indirectly helping yourself. There seems to be some type of universal law about that. If you truly look to serve other people with your gifts and your talents, like, the results and the fruits of those works, they come back to you 100-fold. I mean, they just really do. So it might sound counterintuitive, but whatever you seem to give away, you seem to grow and get back much more. And that's what I've experienced through my volunteer opportunities through SVP.
And this, I think I completely agree. I want to make a comment here. Definitely Julian, a few years ago, definitely helped me. I understand how important that is to really be involved, to really give back, and help me ultimately shape, I think, the person and the professional that I am today, ultimately. I'm a fortunate member of a lot of philanthropic organizations. I serve in the community, and largely because you helped me understand how important that is. So I want to thank you for that as well. So let's transition a little bit deeper into your experience. And we're going to lead to something that is even more exciting, which is your podcast.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
So Robert Half, K-Force, Reach Local, and then all of a sudden you get to Bottle Rocket. And, you know, you've been there for many years, seven years now?
Seven years in January. Right?
7 years in January, which is terrific, terrific tenure. And I know for a fact that the Bottle Rocketeers are thankful to work with you and thankful for your leadership and what you do for the organization. But when at Bottle Rocket did you realize that you said to yourself, you know what, I want to launch a podcast? Like, why? Like, to me, this was just a stunning moment, because I'll give you guys some context here. A few years ago, Julian reaches out to me and he said, Tomas, I'm launching this podcast. I want you to be a guest on the show. And I said, no, I'm nobody. Like, I'm literally nobody. Why would you have me on the show? You want to have some executives. You want to have some people that will help you really, you know, get it off the ground. And he told me, Tomas, you have a story. People want to hear that story. And I was like, what? Like, not many people told me that in the past. And it helped me really with some self-awareness and self-realization that I can actually help you. So I agreed to go on a podcast. And it's my first podcast I've ever attended and I was able to contribute to. And ultimately ended up being a guest. And I'm like, this guy is just going on another level. He already at the time has 21 episodes. And, you know, I was, I think, 22nd or 23rd. And I could not believe what I'm seeing. And I feel like that's a big reason why we're here today. Like, honestly, I saw what you're doing. And many people out there in the community know that I'm a student of people's crafts. And you just instilled this, I don't know what it is, something into me to say, Tomas needs to launch a podcast. And I love it. I freaking love it. This is badass. So I want to get, again, this is some context for you guys, but I want to get to my question, which is, you know, why did you decide to launch this podcast? What was your motivation?
So although I've been working a corporate career for more than a decade now, I personally have actually been very entrepreneurial. And I've done a lot of things. I've done network marketing, I've done internet business, I've done real estate, and they were all great experiences, but I never achieved any kind of truly unusual success with any of them, right? I think for the most part, I was trying to chase money, right? And around 2016, I was really beginning to burn out of searching for my entrepreneurial identity, and I felt like I had a need to change. Now, Bottle Rocket is truly an amazing company in the sense that something Calvin Carter, our founder and CEO, says is the importance of doing work that you love. And Bottle Rocket is unique in the sense that not only do we just say this, but we put it into practice. And one of the ways that we do this is we do something called Rocket Science, which is our yearly hackathon, where for a period of 24 hours, we get to build whatever we want. provided it fits one criteria, you must love doing it. And at Bottle Rocket, I'm surrounded by truly some of the market's best engineers and also creatives. And I've always been very hesitant about Bottle Rocket because I was the only recruiter. Like, what could I possibly create? They're creating these virtual reality apps and mobile apps, and it's just amazing. But something I know I always loved doing was having interesting conversations with interesting people like yourself. Because I knew whenever I'd have these kinds of conversations, like value was being created, ideas, you know, tactics, strategies, best practices, and even, you know, entertainment. So I figured, why not capture these conversations and share them with other people? So for my rocket science project for March of 2016, I launched the Pathways to Success podcast, where I interview various leaders about their journeys to success. So fast forward to present day, I produced 127 episodes. The show has been downloaded more than 54,000 times. It has a regular listening audience from 12 countries, 5 stars in iTunes, and I've had the great fortune to have interviewed company founders, CEOs, New York Times bestselling authors, TEDx speakers, just a whole litany of amazing people.
Okay, I think we should cut right here. We should not proceed to the next question because, you know, it's truly, to me, this is so inspirational, you know, as a immigrant coming from Poland, and I'm watching your own pathway to success. I mean, you're literally formulating a path for me and for a lot of people out there to follow to create your pathways to success. So I want to give you tremendous credit for that. You know, I want to also talk about something that has happened along the way as you've been creating, recording these podcasts. This was never your objective by any means, but you've developed a brand subconsciously. You know, you were just putting content out there, putting those episodes, really focusing on your Bottle Rocket project. And then all of a sudden, there's this Julian Placino brand, and whoever I talk to in the community knows Julian. Mm-hmm. And that's a credit to your label of work that you've established, obviously. So, you know, how can a young person, you know, look at Julian, look at anybody else in the community, you know, people have full-time jobs. How can they go about creating that brand? You know, what are some of the key components that can help him get there?
Mm-hmm. So I think what people refer to as the personal brand is sort of the social footprint that I created. And for me, honestly, I sort of accidentally became a quote unquote expert on personal branding. And all of it really kind of resulted just from this passion project. Because when you create this consistent content over time, and in my case, it's audio and also video, like the social footprint begins to emerge. And that social footprint starts to become like this portfolio, a body of work that you can point to for people to get to know you. And that is such huge equity, especially when it comes to building your network in sales and marketing. Because when it comes to selling anything, even yourself, the thing that you have to overcome is credibility, trust, and authority. And that's what a social footprint gives you. So those are the true benefits and equities that I personally have experienced as far as creating a personal brand. Now, I think the first step when it comes to a personal brand is self-awareness. Like, you can't start promoting something until you have something to say. And because of that, you have to know yourself. And for people coming out of school, you're still very much considered what the marketplace as entry level. So as early on as you can in life, start to get to know your strengths, start to get to know your weaknesses. Look at the things that really attract you to them. What are your real passions in life? Because I believe the best careers, they fit the intersection of this: what you're good at, what you like to do, and what creates value for other people. Because really, once you find that intersection, you found more than just a job. You found a career. And in my case, a calling.
I don't even know what to say. Honestly, we should probably create a few episodes, record a few episodes, because this guy is just dropping straight knowledge. And, you know, for you guys out there, if you're not following Julian on LinkedIn, on social media, I strongly recommend for you to do that, because what you will get is ultimately free content that he distributes in the form of podcasts, in a form of social media distributing content that you can take away and really learn from without even getting to know him. Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned something that I want to touch on, self-awareness. It's something that is, I think, that has to be talked about more. Honestly, I don't think people today And I see that across the board in, you know, in my industry, outside of my industry, people really struggle to become self-aware first with who they are. Mm-hmm. They kind of get into this job and, you know, they're told what to do and that's it. And ultimately they look at themselves in the mirror every night. And like, you know what? I don't know if I'm happy. I don't know if this is like something that makes me happy or fulfilled. So how can a person, you know, you've gave some great context here. How can you become self-aware? But what was your journey to self-awareness? Like in as a practitioner, how did you become self-aware to the point that you just now are killing it and truly loving what you do? Because that's a journey. It's not, a person cannot just become a self-aware overnight. What was the process for you?
So I'm still very much on that journey of self-awareness, to be honest with you. But I feel like I have been able to produce some of these results that I've created because the parts that I became self-aware about, man, they become your superpowers, right? For the longest time, I've been very self-deprecating about myself. If anything, I've been living my career in a way just to sort of please people and not, you know, break the rules too much. But as soon as I started really being authentic with who I am and gave myself permission to believe in the things that I knew that I was great at and use them to help other people, that's when my life really exploded, right? So what are these results I'm talking about? So as the result of the podcast, we talked about those metrics. I got sponsored. I got sponsored by Focusrite. That's the number one selling audio interface in the world. And they're actually using my podcast platform now to reach out to other podcasters. Also got sponsored by Compete Every Day. So shout out to Jake Thompson, a global lifestyle fitness apparel brand. And also a talent agency reached out to me and they wanted to meet me. And after one meeting, I got signed to the theatrical and broadcast division of the premier talent agency, Kim Dawson. And I became a professionally represented actor and commercial model. Well, the more and more these things started to happen in my life, the more and more I got invited to speak. And then I became a paid keynote speaker on this idea of doing work that you love centered around your strengths. And the most in the latest iteration of value I've derived from the podcast is building a training company where I offer professional development to sales and recruiters in the staffing industry. And I am very close right now to have secured more than enough income that will allow me to build this full time starting in 2019. How did I create these results? I created these results because I learned about the things that I was good at, and it allowed me to choose the endeavors that were best tailored to my shape. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. You know, it's just, I feel like I genuinely believe you have so much drive, discipline. I mean, there's many adjectives that I come with, but ultimately, like, I know what you do on a daily basis. You get up at 4, you go work out, you know, you work 60 hours a week for Bottle Rocket or so. Mm-hmm. You record your podcast on Saturdays. You devote a lot of hours to building your training company. It takes a lot of discipline, a lot of you know, just understanding how much labor it takes to build something. And people these days, I'll just be honest, when I came here as an immigrant, I genuinely believe that a lot of people here are just very spoiled and they don't understand what the tools and resources they have at their disposal mm-hmm. to become successful in anything that they want.
Yeah.
My parents, your parents, when they grew up, they didn't have what we have right now. So ultimately what I'm seeing is you're capitalizing on everything that is around you for the benefit, not only for Bottle Rocket, but ultimately for your self-fulfillment, for your happiness. And you're building something that a few years ago, probably you never even thought you would build.
Right.
But it's a regime almost. It's very, very structured process. Tell me more about that process, because many young people don't have that. They would rather go uptown to Dallas, go drink, spend money on stuff. Everybody wants to have their fun, obviously, but how can a person become more disciplined in their approach to really pursue their dreams or to do something that will, you know, to fulfill their goals? Because it takes a lot of self-development to even get there. Like if I tell 5 people we go outside now, and say, hey, can you get up tomorrow at 4 a.m. and go work out? Probably 4 out of 5 will say no, or for sure no. So it starts somewhere with this mindset that you have to be great, I think. As a competitor, I think you have that too because you're a tremendous athlete. But how did you instill this discipline into yourself that now you're developing basically, you know, this training company and your podcast is has taken off and it's taking you places. But what have you done to really do that on such a structured manner?
So one thing I want to draw some attention to is, you know, back to the self-awareness piece. One of the ways that you can start to gain self-awareness is by listening to how other people talk about you. Something that I often get described as is what you said, this word discipline. But honestly, I never really think of myself as a disciplined person. What people are referring to is the work that I put into accomplishing my goals. But to me, the process feels automatic because I have clarity, because I know what I want to achieve in life and why I want to do it. Everything else just becomes a process I do to bring my goals into life, right? And that's why I'm really big into believing this whole idea of doing something that you love. Because instead of like an uphill battle, it really feels more like a flow, like my goals draw me to them. And it doesn't feel like work. You have to find something that you love and kind of fall in love with the process of creating, right? It starts there. Part of self-awareness is not just like knowing what your skills and your talents are. That's a huge part, but knowing what you want out of life. And most people don't do that. And I understand it because people are trying to look good and they're trying to impress other people. And I get that. I did that for most of my career, right? But they don't really think for themselves and what they want to create. That's the first step. Get to know yourself and figure out what do you want out of life.
Do you think, so let's say Sally or Peter find out what's their clarity, what's their, who they are ultimately.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they want to apply this into practical format and right. have this schedule of, you know, activities or things around their clarity and purpose. Do you think that will lead to all of a sudden them be more disciplined, more structured, more visionary, and really willing to do those things?
100%, man. So I interviewed a comedian. His name is Bob Stromberg. And something that he told me, I will never forget. He says, bite back at the things that bite you. Pay attention to the things that you find interest in, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you're curious about. Because somewhere around there, the more that you kind of pursue those, you'll find out if you really like those things or if you don't. It really starts there, finding out what you want, right? Now, in terms of how to bring this into life, I've always really been big into finding mentors. As long as I can remember, if I wanted to do something that I've never done before, my natural instinct was to go find someone who's already done this, become their friend, ask them how to do it, and then do whatever they tell me to do relentlessly. And that has been a huge piece to me, right? So Jason Croft, one of our good friends, I've never started a podcast. He's been in the media business for, you know, 20 plus years. At the time, he was the host for the very successful podcast Startup Dallas. We became friends. He showed me exactly how to do it. How did I get sponsored? I had Baylor Barbie, who's a best-selling author on the podcast. He has so many sponsors. He helped me realize that what I had built here was worthy of a sponsorship, which I didn't really believe. That's another thing that mentors can give you is vision. They help you see yourself for the way that you are, not the way that you see yourself, because sometimes you're limited, right? And he showed me exactly how to reach out to a sponsor, and I got sponsored the first time, right? But something hidden in that process is that it took Baylor 100 times to get his first sponsorship. I borrowed his experience. I shortcutted the process to success because I traveled down the path that already works. So once you know what you want to do, go find people who've done it, become their friends, and learn directly from them.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when I talk to students, I go often to different colleges, SMU primarily, because that's where I went and been fortunate to earn 2 degrees there. But what I see among students is I ask them, basically, do you have a mentor? And they don't even know how to get there. Like, who is a mentor? Like, I don't need a mentor. You know, I'm 21-year-old girl or dude that is, you know, in a fraternity, and I'm going to go and work, make, you know, 100,000, and I'm going to go home at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. because my dog needs to be taken out and work 4 hours a day, you know, 20 hours a week. What is the world coming to? I mean, this is, you know, no, I'm serious. Like, it's, I talk to so many executives, and one of the biggest problems that they're facing is talent acquisition, because people think, you know, they have egos. Probably they, you know, like I'm 31, 32 in April, you're slightly older than me, but there's so many people in their early 20s or so that they really don't know even how to start, or they believe they have all these skill sets to all of a sudden you know, go to corporate and make $120,000 with no experience. So how can we, as parents, as friends, as mentors, ourselves, communicate that to them to then help them become self-aware and identify that clarity? Because that's very, very important. If they don't, if to your point, if they will not find that clarity, if they will not become self-aware, and most importantly, if they will not find a sense of humility, they will not be able to prosper early in their careers. So what would you say be an order of, you know, the most important things? You're in college or about to graduate. What should be the number one thing a young person in their early 20s should focus on before they even deploy to corporate or earn a job somewhere? What should they be paying attention to here and right now and taking advantage of, as a result of which that would help them grow and ultimately score that first job?
I think I'm reading a book right now by Robert Greene. It's called Mastery. It's a book that I highly recommend, right? And it talks about how when you first kind of get out of school and then you start working, that you're going through this apprenticeship phase. And it's not necessarily just a one-on-one kind of mentorship from someone, but it's really understanding life. It's understanding business. And this first part of your phase, and I'm looking back at my life now, and it very much was that. It's not necessarily even about making money. It's developing your character. It's acquiring skills. It's building your network. It's becoming a person of value, right? And I really do believe that the income you create is commensurate to the value that you can create in the marketplace. But you can't create that value until you develop yourself as a human being. You should focus on growing yourself, getting as many skills as possible, meeting great people, building healthy relationships.
You know, I agree with you. However, I experienced that firsthand. I was in college. You know, I kind of grew up in a low to mid class family in Poland, you know, grew up in a one bedroom apartment. And I come here and I'm around all these kids that are way more privileged than I am, grew up in different households. So ultimately, the conversation was different. I almost felt like what you're saying as an immigrant, I understood.
Yeah.
But when I talk to them, and I'm thinking now, like as an employee of a large organization, if I were to go to campus and recruit, it's so hard to find that talent because people don't focus on, you know, in a young age, which to me that's mind blowing because you have everything. You have everything at your disposal, and they don't dedicate the time to truly grow, identify their strengths, listen to podcasts perhaps in some instances or YouTube videos. If I had that back then, growing up, I would be following 100 Julian Placinos, and I would be seriously, you know, I'm 31, so it's a little different perspective now, but I would have tripled down on those efforts because that would have helped me that much more. How can we communicate that to those students? You know, because they're so stubborn, so kind of caught up with their mission, and their probably attention span is, you know, around social media and Fortnite and whatever else you may think. So,
yeah.
So how can we help them get more focused and really understand what's important in that journey, you know, when you transition from college to corporate?
You know, so I'm a product of the professional development industry. I read my first Tony Robbins book when I was like 18 years old. And since then, I've been consuming that information. Something that I have been fascinated with is how one idea, if executed well, can create real results in your life. Also, now that I have a training company, I'm really trying to crack the nugget between how do you go from classroom to execution? How do you actually change people? Is it possible to teach character to people? Is that possible? I don't think change can be forced, right? I think it can be influenced. I think it first starts with number one, get to know that person. Because although they might be kind of lost, although they might be, you know, playing video games and all this other kind of stuff that we don't necessarily see that creates value, that person wants something. Everyone wants something, right? So that's the first key. If you're trying to actually help someone, figure out exactly what they're passionate about, right? And then you can give them vision, right, of someone who's achieved that ideal. And then once you have those two pieces, you can then kind of put a plan together to create that. You first need to gain the clarity of what they want. Find examples of someone who's created great success in that area, right? And give them a vision to inspire them to action.
What if, you know, so I'll give you an example. I had a conversation with a student recently of a local university, and he really has difficulties to identify mentors.
Sure.
He just wants to, he told me, my goal, my dream is to develop something that hasn't been invented. However, I don't even know where to start. And you know, almost refuses to look at different mentors because he or she doesn't want to do what they've done. They want to kind of build their own path, right? Pathway to success, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they, you know, perhaps gain this? Because to me, that's truly impossible. Like you have to surround yourself with people smarter and better that've done it. Because if you're not, you will fail and you will lose a lot of time. However, if you truly do that and pick some of the nuggets from them of knowledge, all of a sudden you can have a conversation and get to the next step creation or cultivation, whatever you're trying to establish ultimately. But how can we communicate that, you know, to these students? Because, you know, I feel like partially I'm successful. There's a lot of students that I can resonate with. But what's truly give me like almost a challenge that I like is when I see, you know, a student, female or male, doesn't matter, where they are just like, hey, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Like, I want to build something, but I don't know how to even start. And I refuse to do everything else that other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we talk to them then, you know, as parents, as professors, as advisors, career counselors, to help them realize, you know what? You have to start somewhere. You can't just speak. You can't just say that you will conquer the world and climb Mount Everest overnight when you don't put in the legwork to even get, you know, to get your backpack to climb. You know what I mean? Like, think the little things like this. So how can we instill this into those kids? Because I feel like the next generation is coming. So much technology is being deployed, and ultimately will have more talents than ever, but there will be more people, more younger generation professionals that will be lost. They will not know what to do, and will have continuous difficulty to identify this talent to ultimately hire in a corporate world. And perhaps, you know, how could we then help them become entrepreneurs? Mm-hmm. Ultimately is about creating your journey, to our point here in the conversation. But if a person refuses to do that, And so what can we say to them then? You know, like, how, what is the best messaging that can be instilled to their mind? So all of a sudden their neurological system shifts and they're like, uh-huh, I should be doing this. Because you did that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't listening. Or maybe I was, but I didn't really know how to apply that. Like, it was just coming in. I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. But then is it maturity process? I mean, how can people start capturing this information and listen more effectively to then realize, okay, I have to do something in order to get there. I can't just say and refuse that I'm going to follow better people than me. I mean, I don't know if this is an ego deal or what is it? I mean, why do those young people refuse to really understand that everything is in front of them? They can listen to those podcasts, YouTube videos, and whatever the journey is in front of them, they can become that.
Well, let me ask you this. This is an interesting case study, right?
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember what I told you, but what did I tell you that helped you make the shift?
I think it was ultimately a authentic conversation with someone that I could have related at the time. And I still obviously tremendously relate to you, but nobody was as effective of a listener of my, actions and what I've been doing. You asked me some very inquisitive questions. I told you what I've done. And ultimately, based on that, you provided solutions, almost like a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
But we were friends. So I was like, this guy is right. Like, I haven't even been doing this. Like, mm-hmm. like I have not tried to gain a job opportunity at the time with a different strategy, because I felt like, you know, I was an athlete, you know, I have all these, you know, contacts at SMU. So I'm just going to get employed very easily,
mm-hmm.
you know, wherever I go. And then kind of reality hit the fan, you know, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm having a bigger hard time than I thought I would. Now I was facing some other, adversity at the time. So that's another story, but ultimately it came down to changing the strategy, being more receptive to feedback. Because as an aspiring professional, if you're an athlete, your mentality, your drive is so much different than a standard person. And I mean it wholeheartedly. I'm not trying to disrespect anyone. It's just if you are around an athlete, you can see that that person is in a room or former athlete or whatever. So I felt like I genuinely will get a job because, you know, I put in a lot of work at SMU and it was tough. And you, through the conversation with you, I was able to truly redefine how I look for employment opportunities.
Okay. So a couple of things. The first thing was you experienced adversity, a kind of a pain. You were trying to get what you wanted to get, but then there was a roadblock that forced you to rethink your strategy, right?
Correct.
So I think that's one thing also. For the most part, Tomas, unfortunately, I don't think people change unless they want to or experience some type of adversity in their life.
What holds them back?
That's different for everyone, right?
Yeah.
But that's the first clue, some kind of adversity, right? The second thing is that I hope we'll give our listeners a clue also. One of the reasons why you are successful is because of your humility, okay? Now, a lot of times people get this word mixed up. Humility has nothing to do with being afraid or playing small. Humility comes from the root word humus. And what is humus? It's a fertile soil. What do you do with a fertile soil, Tomas?
You have to plant it and then you have to water it until it grows.
But the fertile soil allows things to grow.
Correct.
That's what humility is and that's what you have. You're constantly seeking new ideas. Now, humility is seeing yourself as you are, nothing more and nothing less. Mm-hmm. Because when you can see yourself objectively, you can then start to figure out the tactics and strategies that you need to be able to get what you want, right? So that's also another message. It almost seems like with the examples that you mentioned, some of those students had a little bit of ego.
Correct.
Like, I know better. I can do this. That's something that needs to be kind of challenged and looked at. So you see, humility, it's not just a virtue. It's one of your competitive advantages.
No, and thank you. I do believe that. And you know, as we talk about it, I feel like humility is one of those characteristics that young people lack today because they walk into the room and they feel like they have the attention of the whole room, whether it's an interview process or whatever the case may be, but they haven't even done anything yet.
Right.
So why would you have an ego or, you know, a sense of, you know, I mean, you can be charismatic, you can have, you know, passion for what you do, but I genuinely believe that if you don't have the experience to do something, you have to conduct yourself with a sense of humility. And I think also that's kind of, you know, how you are raised. You know, your family, my family, I think we share a lot of same a lot of values, but I think that's you know, how you're raised by your parents, how then that's transitioned to your professors or coaches if you play sports. So ultimately that transports with you to the person that you are today. And if you have not, unfortunately, had some of that, and you've always been around people that are cocky and overconfident, and they can think that they can, you know, conquer the world, there's nothing wrong about it, but you have to be very strategic about it, how you go with it. And if you don't have a sense of humility, I just have a hard time even having a conversation with a person like this because I'm ultimately, you know, like, I don't listen because I can just see this big person in a room that thinks that they're bigger than everybody else combined when I'm like, bro, you haven't even done anything.
Yeah.
And I meet a lot of people on a daily basis. I'm fortunate to do that. And I see that and it's mind staggering that people just come into the room and they feel like, or, you know, I have coffee or whatever. And it's just, oh yeah, you know, this is what I've done and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, I already know what you've done because I did some research and I think anybody should be doing this today. But if you will, if you will carry the conversation like that, I mean, I'll probably never speak to you again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. So ultimately, I just this is something that is, I think, very, very important. Self-awareness, humility, some of the most important characteristics that young people should develop and deploy in anything that they do, because I think that becomes subconscious leverage a little bit too, because it's refreshing. Mm-hmm. Young people, I mean, so let me ask you this, you know, you interview and screen so many people. So what is the ratio between, you know, people that understand actually and have a sense of humility and people that are just like, hey, I'm a, you know, this guy that can just do anything you tell me basically, and their ego is blowing through the door. I mean, do you even give him the benefit of the time, or you simply shut down the conversation within the first 10 or 20 minutes of an interview?
Humility is critical at any stage in your career. So we hire software engineers. We have passed on engineers from Google, from Amazon, and from other world-class companies because they didn't have the humility, right? Because humility, like, first off, we're really big into building culture. We have a learning culture. That's one, right? But number two, when you know everything, you no longer have a capacity to learn. And we passed on some of the quote unquote best in the world because of that.
No, it's interesting that you say that, because I've been watching Bottle Rocket ever since you were in your previous office. Then you have expanded. I think you're now on two floors. Is that correct?
Two floors, right.
Two floors, you know, over there, Keller Springs and Tollway.
Beltline and Tollway.
Beltline and Tollway. Mm-hmm. So it's, you, honestly, guys, if you have not seen or heard about Bottle Rocket, you have to do plenty of research. They're doing some amazing things, developing some premier mobile apps in the world. Can you share some of that? I mean, that's just for the context, so people know. I mean, I'm actually, if people are interested in your work, I want them to call you guys, because that's just, it's something that there's not that many premier app developers that I've been at least introduced to. And I know for a fact, your leader, I've met some people internally because of, you know, your generosity, but ultimately, can you share some of the apps that you've developed, and how has that led to your growth as a result?
Yeah, so Bottle Rocket is literally one of the premier mobile developers in the world. So Calvin Carter, our founder and CEO, the day the App Store launched, he had 8 apps in the App Store, right? And now to date, we have well over 450 preeminent experiences in the iOS and also the Android store, right? And some of the brands that we have built apps for are companies like Starwood Hotels, Coca-Cola Freestyle, Chick-fil-A, Lego, ESPN, Food Network, History Channel. And that's what we do. We work on some of the world's greatest brands.
So I want to ask you this also, from a recruiter leadership perspective. If there was one book, and let's do this, one book and one podcast. There's a listener out there. I know you read a lot. I know you're just, you know, we already know what's your body of work. But one book and one podcast outside of yours, which I feel like genuinely you have to tune into Pathways to Success next year. Julian has 54,000 downloads. Give him, you know, double that. Let's double, let's triple that. You know, if you know some guests that should be on the show, definitely reach out to Julian, because he's bringing some tremendous value. I'm a listener for sure. So on that being said, one podcast, one book for one person, young person that is aspiring, want to, you know, do something with their life that really will benefit the life of others.
I'd say for the podcast, I recommend Tom Bilyeu's Impact Theory. And he has some of the world's greatest thought leaders come on there. It's a great professional development podcast. I highly encourage you to check that out. In terms of the book, that's a hard one. I've read so many, but one that really sticks with me is a book called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. It's a very short read, but it talks about the importance of your thoughts, how thoughts become things, and how that's definitely something that you should cultivate to create positive results in your life.
Okay, thank you. I hope everybody made some notes today, because Julian is just... You know, I just want to thank you, man. Like, you were such a good friend, and you know, you really have reshaped the way I think in a lot of ways. And you helped me ultimately when I am today. I always, you know, text you or call you and ask for advice, and you're always open to suggestions, and you never say no. You know, and that's you know, Julian Pulcino, ladies and gentlemen, is a very rare breed. And I mean it. I mean it.
Thank you, Tomas.
You know, people would say, you know, I'm getting a lot of crap for that. That Tomas, you can just articulate somebody's, you know, what how they're good at. And I'm like, yes, because I feel like if I can learn something from you, and you brought me value to my life personally and professionally, hell yeah, I'm gonna sell you in the community. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I'm gonna give you a shout out on LinkedIn or whatever the case is. So ultimately, I just want to thank you because. It's mind-boggling. I mean, we're sitting at this desk recording a podcast. Like, are you kidding me, bro? Like, that's stunning. And last, I think I want to touch something before I let you go. I know you're a busy guy, and I'm sure your schedule is full. But LinkedIn,
yeah,
something I'm very very big about, a big advocate, partially also because of you. I think we both have been users of LinkedIn in a lot of different ways for years now. What is your opinion of LinkedIn, and why should a young person get on it early?
LinkedIn is awesome. It has radically transformed my career over the past, you know, few months. The thing is that as a recruiter, I've used LinkedIn probably since 2006 purely as a sourcing tool, but only in February of this year did I start using it as a publisher. Creating content specifically through native video. And because I've been posting content specifically to be of service to this one particular group of people, which are recruiters and salespeople in the staffing industry, I've close to quadrupled my number of contacts. This is how I've gotten so many different speaking engagements. And it is really what inspired me to build my training and development company. You should get on LinkedIn because this is where the professional world is. I get more engagement on LinkedIn than all of my social platforms combined. That is a bare minimum thing that you need to do. It is one more tool, an amazing tool that you can use to intelligently and effectively build your professional network. And if you're coming out of college right now, that's one of the best things that you can do is build your network.
I, you know, I'm a big fan of the platform myself. I think I've had a profile for about 10 years, been posting different content for several years, but just recently, because of you, again, here you go. Here's another portion that I have to highlight. Because of Julian Placino that told me to do, basically advised, he kind of did tell me, but he advised me to start posting videos and really take it to the next level. And I said, why? Why would I post videos? Nobody wants to listen to this dude. Like, I'm not a... And that's probably what it was, man. Like, I felt like sense of humility. You're selling yourself short a little bit. You're looking at it from this lens that, man, I don't know if I'm going to have audience. Like, I don't, you know, I'm this professional, done a lot of different things. But yet, you made me realize, you spoke to me very clearly. And you said, Tomas, you're an immigrant. You're a professional athlete. You faced a lot of adversity in your life. And for those reasons alone, people should and hopefully will listen, right? Mm-hmm. And I started posting these videos, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, it gives me so much joy and, like, just fuel and passion to do what I do. And I'm doing it, like, just to connect with people and really build more relationships and share topics of interest.
Yeah.
And you did this for me, man. Like, I was like, I can't believe I'm... And Ashley, you know, my fiance, she's now making fun of me. Oh, so when you're posting your next video and she's mocking me, obviously, all the time. So it's just something that has really revolutionized how I look at human connection also.
Yeah.
Because nothing... I'm a big believer that nothing will ever replace true, genuine relationship building face-to-face.
Right.
100%. But as I'm doing more research, LinkedIn is almost instrumental platform where people connect. I mean, we are at the event freaking next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ronald Davis,
because of LinkedIn. I wasn't even like, boom, boom, boom. You know, one connection, second connection. And all of a sudden, we end up being at the same event. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. And I have, you know... I have so many friends also that I follow and I'm learning from constantly on LinkedIn. But, you know, our message collectively, I think, is invest time into building something on that platform. Start from just your bio, adding your friends, your colleagues, former bosses, your philanthropy, your activity, volunteership, just to build something. I've done a simple exercise with two of my colleagues. One of them hasn't even updated their current occupation. And one of them just was like, man, I don't really believe in the tool. I gave him 2-3 simple nuggets, just like I just articulated, and what you taught me to. And it's all of a sudden people from college, it became almost a lead generation machine, because people started to inquire and share excitement that you even work somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, and people that hide, I feel like they're so limited in their capacity to provide value ultimately to their cyber, not only obviously world outside of them, but online. Like, it's crazy how this tool has reshaped really who I am. I feel like the last couple of months, and I think we share that. So if you're not following Julian on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/in/Julian Placino. You provide a lot of great content. I think what you've done also recently, I'm seeing a lot of you posting videos, you posting a lot of micro content also, and sharing so much value to people that I'm not only recruiting and staffing industry can relate with, but ultimately anybody that wants to learn. I feel like there is just a tremendous message, level of authenticity and value.
I appreciate that, man.
You're a special dude, and I just want to say, best of luck. I know that big things are yet to come for you, and I'm just so happy for you, because you put so much work to where you are today, and you deserve every bit of it. So thank you, brother, and I look forward to years of friendship to come.
Likewise. Yeah. Same here, Tomas. Thanks appreciate so much.
Thank you for listening to The Tomas Show. Please subscribe and share.
Hey guys, it's Tomas here. Thanks so much for tuning in to the first episode of The Tomas Show with Julian Placino. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Please, please, from the bottom of my heart, I hope you take some time and leave a rating in iTunes, regardless if it's 1 star or 5 stars. I would very much appreciate it. Your feedback is everything, and I'll catch up with you guys in the second episode. Cheers.